Another cowboy kind of poem begins with two lines that I stole from the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Despite the article in this morning's Wildcat, I do, which was, I thought, a very flattering article. I appreciate it. I do watch some television, only the best of television, however. Top of my list is Mary Tyler Moore. And the second place is a tie between Bob Newhart and Cannon. And what I really don't understand is why people laugh, because I must have known these people in a past life or something. I have later on a poem about Cannon which I'd like to read also. Well, at any rate, I can't explain the whole plot of the show, and it wasn't necessary, but about a year, 6 months ago, somebody in the Mary Tyler Moore Show, I think it was Mary herself, said, they were talking about having a dinner for someone and what they'd put on the table, and Mary said, but who would want silver on the table? And Lou Grant, you know, the guy with the big gut, he responded, the Lone Ranger wouldn't. And so... And those are the first two lines of the poem, and I tell them now so you can get the laughs out of you, and I can proceed with the poem. Actually, it's a kind of a collection of details of the Lone Ranger. Those of you who are in my generation probably remember listening to him on Friday night at 7:30. And it's a list of details, some of which you'll recognize, others of which come from my, that I've added from my imagination. It's called Silver. And to sort of give you a hint, the Tonto appears toward the end. Silver. Who would want silver on the table? The Lone Ranger wouldn't. He would send him down the hill to the corral to help the wild pigs break apart the blocks of hay with their noses, paw into them for the china with its willow eaten to a lace by the bridge. Sitting on a hill with his napkin spread on the curve of the earth, troubled by the wind, he might think that it would blow the crumbs away all at once in a gust, a shining fist that dipped over the badlands, along the contours of the prairie, rushed into the cave like a blast salting it, so that arriving days later in need of ammunition, pursued by the fat sheriff with twisted logic who loves his children, the priest shuffles out ashamed, hands spread and says there isn't any, that at night he heard the glowing, perpetual vein leap out of its crib, fly like a mad patient down the narrowing tunnel to the lake deep in the source of the earth where no man can fit. For the women, he keeps his burnt flint jaw scraped free of sweat. And that is why, approaching gutted or abandoned houses, he treads like a boy having forgotten he once stole apples there, confident in the charm of the invisible horse between his legs, ready to spin him off at the touch of a spur, turns away at the croaking of a coyote, his friend with his hand over his mouth behind the charred banisters. In mufti, rides over to the widow's place, wad of dry algae that lurches toward him from her shack, arms spread, white hair wild around the sun of her face, bathes his wounds, serves him marmalade. Marmalade?